Okay. Paper. Government grants, paper three. On this one, Joette is going to introduce the paper, and then I'm going to take a minute to brief you on the conversation of this paper that the Emerging Economies Group had last week. We sent them a draft, we sent them the final on this paper so that they could talk about it. Wade?
Yep. Thank you. Good morning. We'll move on to agenda paper three, which talks about repayable cash payments received from the government. In November, the committee first discussed this issue and decided not to take the issue onto its agenda. It concluded that the payment gave rise to a financial liability for the entity. At the meeting in March, the committee discussed the feedback received on its tentative agenda decision. It reconfirmed its view that the cash payment gives rise to a financial liability. The committee directed us to perform further analysis on how an entity should account for any difference between the cash payment received and the measurement of the liability at initial recognition. The flowchart on page 6 of the agenda paper outlines how we think an entity should account for the difference at initial recognition. We think that in the fact pattern submitted, any difference could represent assistance received from the government to help an entity to further its R&D project. If this is the case, then the entity should account for the difference applying the requirements of IAS 20. We continue to think that the requirements in IFRS standards provide a sufficient basis to enable an entity to determine the appropriate accounting treatment. On the basis of our analysis, we think the committee should finalize the agenda decision, proposed wording for which is set out in Appendix A. We would like to ask if you agree with our recommendation to finalize the agenda decision, and if you do, if you have any comments on the proposed wording. And
okay. Emerging Economies Group discussed this because government grants are clearly a problem, or not a problem, but a persistent practice in a lot of emerging economies. There was some diversity among the group, so I'm going to give you four views that were expressed. Several of the participants did not accept the staff analysis that this is an IFRS 9 financial instrument at the beginning of the day. Their view was that it is in all likelihood a government grant based on future activity, and that they would therefore recognize it, obviously you've got cash, but amortize it over the term of the grant. That may in part reflect their expectation that, as with many R&D projects, that's going to wind up with nothing, or nothing commercial. I neglected to ask them, well, what happens if you do wind up paying it back, having amortized it to zero? That's my fault. There were others who said, well, we don't see a lot of difference between this and a lot of government loans. See a lot of them in practice. We're not sure that this one is that different from those. That may have been married to the third point that they made, which was you've got to be kidding if you think we can fair value these. In an emerging economy framework, now if this was, and these types of transactions are actually fairly common in the United States as well, especially in movies and TV. I said, in our situations, we find it almost impossible. We can tell you right now that if you say it's a financial instrument, we're going to say the fair value is the proceeds. And so they're unlikely to be any government grant accounting involved, in their view, at least the view of some of the participants. The last view that some expressed was they weren't absolutely clear that you could reach the conclusion that the government grant piece of this is in fact tied to future activity. That may reflect some of their concerns later in the meeting about the whole notion of past and future activity in IAS 20. There were a number of issues around that that kind of kept cropping up. So it may have reflected their concerns about some of the broader topic. that the group discussed. But those were the four. First, that they're not convinced it's automatically in IFRS 9. On the other side of that, some of them saying they're not convinced that it's likely there's a government grant piece. This is just another loan from a government. Third, the question about fair value in an emerging economy situation, which is an ongoing and consistent problem. And finally, the past or future activity issue. With that, can we open it up for comments on the paper itself? And I guess the first question, if you can point us to where that is, George.
Sorry, the first question. Yeah, the question is whether you agree with our recommendation to finalize the agenda decision.
Oh, well, that was
sorry.
It's right at the end.
Which?
Page 8.
Paragraph, right after paragraph 26.
Yep.
Comments, reactions? John?
I mean, I agree with the staff recommendation to finalize the agenda decision for this fact pattern. I mean, I think there are a range of different arrangements here, some of which involve terms where the loan is waived or forgiven, some of which involve elements of risk sharing, collaboration agreements. So I think that, but for this particular arrangement, it does seem to me that there is a financial liability. You would measure at fair value. There might be a government grant element. I know that's difficult. There's lots of things that are difficult to measure at fair value. So I agree with the staff analysis and finalizing the agenda decision.
Reinhardt?
My comments are very similar to John's. I think consistent with what the staff analysis is, that this is a financial liability, that it's not a forgivable loan along the lines of the thinking of the paper. I do agree with John that it is often difficult to determine fair value. That's not a basis for ignoring the requirements. I know that in a Canadian context, maybe Canada's an emerging economy, people have difficulty fair valuing it, and typically for these types of instruments would say that the fair value is equal to the proceeds. I think a lot of people think of this in the nature of, or very similar to a non-recourse loan, where if you do have the potential opportunity to give back the underlying property as opposed to repaying cash. But given the way the agenda decision is worded, it doesn't say how to determine fair value, and I think if we went into a discussion of how to determine fair value, that's far more than an agenda decision. So I agree with the approach that's taken, and as was mentioned, that if there is something that you're getting other than the government grant, account for it. And that's in the agenda decision, and I can agree and accept that. So I would be, in summary, comfortable proceeding.
Martin?
Yeah, thanks to the staff for the paper first, because last time I criticized or said that we need a little bit more explanation, what is the financial liability element, what is the government grants, if any. If I follow this decision 3, I would agree with that. It could be if you have a very, very low probability of success, then that the government grant portion is more or less the biggest part. Here in this example, it is only 20 or 40%, so it could be even 80-90% or even more. The challenging thing, which is not answered here, but which is challenging for preparers and for sure also for auditors then, is the measurement of that all, yeah, because there's a lot of judgment involved, and I assume that if you have a very material issue, then you have to provide sufficient disclosures. But from a technical analysis, I'm able to follow that. Based on the very, very narrow facts and circumstances we set in the case, or which was given by the case, because I also agree with John and Reinhard that there are many different kind of scenarios, yeah, with risk sharing and so on, with regard to specifically to states. They want to incentive companies to be active in R&D. So therefore, again, with regard to that narrow fact pattern, I could agree with that.
Hey, Long?
I also agree with staff analysis and the conclusion, but I have a couple of comments. Paragraph 10 to 14 of the agenda paper and the draft agenda decision appears to emphasize that the entity should first assess whether the difference related to something other than financial liability. However, on the annual improvement issue in May 2008, IAS 20, 10A was at and concluded that the benefit of government loan that at below market rates is treated as government grant. The current wording to assess whether the difference relates to something other than the financial liability may result in misconception that the any adjustments of fair value of loan granted by the government at below market rate should first be assessed under IFRS 9 rather than applying IAS 20.10A directly. So alternatively, the wording can be revised to say if the difference does not relate to government grant, the entity applies the requirements of other relevant standards. And I also think that in practice, that might be a practical difficulty in measuring the financial liability at the initial recognition.
Okay. Tony?
So I'm comfortable with the staff analysis that this meets the definition of a financial liability and with the accounting that would be applied on initial recognition. I think the logic flows through that. Yeah, I understand it might be difficult to measure fair value, but lots of fair values are difficult to measure. So I don't think that should affect the accounting, and nor do I think we should say any more about it. I guess I'm still where I was before. I agree that this meets the definition of a financial liability. I look at the fairly loose definition of a forgivable loan in IAS 20, and I'm still not sure that it doesn't meet the definition of a forgivable loan. IAS 20 doesn't tell me what the certain prescribed conditions for waiving the loan are, and whether those certain prescribed conditions could be, I'm giving this up and giving you the intellectual property. So my sense is still that in the absence of a scope waterfall that tells me whether I go to our financial instruments accounting first, government grant accounting first, that this is not the only possible interpretation. And so I think I would be more comfortable finalising the agenda decision with the words in it that we took out last time that says that this might also meet the definition of a government grant or a forgivable loan and therefore fall into IAS 20. Because I don't think there's anything in the literature that tells me that answer would be wrong.
Yang Su?
I generally agree with the staff conclusion that this is a financial liability, but I have a little bit concerned about the government grant, which is at paragraph 23, it is 20 CU, 20,000 CU. I'm a little bit concerned about it. In the staff paper, it says government grant part should be separated and it should be recognized as liability. And I'm a little bit concerned about it because in this specific context, the government grant or the cash payment is based on the cost incurred in the past. That's the fact pattern given in this specific scenario, which you can see at the paragraph 2A. If you look at it, it says the amount of the payment is calculated as a percentage of the research expense incurred. So the cash payment is based on the cost incurred in the past, not will be incurred in the future. So if we think about it, and if we think about the, what paragraph was it? Paragraph 12 of IAS 20, it says we have to think about the intention of the payment of the government grant. So if you think about it, then I'm not quite sure that government grant part, the 20,000 CU, is really a liability or the revenue of the period. So that is my point.
That echoes the comments that we had at the Emerging Economies Group. Yeah, Bruce?
Thanks. I agree with the the paper and the conclusion has been drawn, and I'm actually glad Tony brought up, because I thought I was the only one who was just a little bit uncomfortable about the non-recourse loan issue in IAS 20. Just does it feel like we're in this? So I guess the comment I had was, if we're definitely certain we're in IFRS 9, we're looking at that, I agree. You can't rewrite the flow chart anyway. The flow chart tells you what to do. It's there. But my only concern was, I think with a decent-sized crowbar, I could get it out and end up in IAS 20 on the singer. So, which brings me to the question of, is there a small way to clarify the scope in terms of just making sure people go to the right place? Because my worry is that even if we issue an agenda decision, somebody could turn around and say, but hang on, it's in there. And I think the reason we took out the wording was because we're concerned people would read it twice. But if we're saying there are those of us who believe we can read it into both of the standards, well, then we're kind of skipping the issue a bit.
Can I?
Yeah.
Is it okay for me to come in? And I'm looking at John, because only if I think about the point that was raised last meeting, I'm looking at John, because John, I think it was you made the point, and I think the reason we took it out was John made the point that at least was quite persuasive to me, that said, almost for the reasons that we think this meets the definition of a financial liability and IAS 32, is almost those reasons kind of say that we think, in this narrow set of facts, it doesn't meet the definition of a forgivable loan in IAS 20, because we were kind of saying our conclusion is a financial liability is kind of saying, look, we don't think there's any waiving happening here. We think it is an obligation to pay cash, and the only time you can avoid paying cash is if you decide to transfer the research rights. So I think for that reason, we thought that this wasn't a situation, you know, where you could waive repayment. You couldn't actually waive repayment. You had to give the research right.
And I agree. That's what I'm saying. When I read it, I would agree. And I mean, if everybody agreed, I'd happily support the agenda decision. My only concern is if my starting point was on the forgivable loan. Mm-hmm. I'm still just not comfortable that I could say to somebody, no, you're completely and utterly wrong starting there.
I guess my sense was, I may be wrong, that in a circumstance in which you have to deliver the collateral, if you can't deliver cash, that's not a forgiveness. That's just a settlement option. Forgiveness means, you know, go forth and sin no more. And that's not what's happening here. So I think perhaps we could, in the agenda decision, clarify that point.
That's exactly the point. If we're saying we're comfortable, I'm saying if the majority of the group comfortable, we're definitely not in there. I do think we just need to justify, well then guys, these are exactly the reasons we're not in it. And I think then I'd feel a lot more comfortable about it.
Bob?
This isn't the point I wanted to get to, but just on that point, I'm struggling a little bit with the definition. So I challenged before the definition of a financial liability. I'm not going to go back and rehash why it is, but if you accept that it's a financial liability, what you're then saying is you do not have a choice of delivering either cash or the IP. You must deliver the cash. Now, think about like a mortgage loan, right? You must, again, deliver cash. If you default, you then deliver the collateral. But I think that we would consider for a bank purpose, that loan has been forgiven. So I understand Tony's point. The point I wanted to get to is, like, I think IFRS 9 is very clear that you have to accept, if it's a financial liability, you got to fair value it. I know it's hard. I agree with everybody's point. We then go on to say, well, if the fair value is less than the proceeds, you go and identify if there's something else there. And we say, well, it might be a grant. It then started to occur to me, well, if I think that this is a grant, and if this thing is wildly successful, we say in the facts that they may have to pay double the proceeds, are they in a sense then really paying back that grant? So is this a repayable grant? Or then it started me to question, well, really, is there that separate element? And how do I determine whether there is this separate element? It started to feel like to me, well, they're really, no, it's all one thing. There are not different elements here, and we don't really point that out we don't talk about that in the agenda decision.
We don't talk about that.
In the agenda decision, we say, hey, there might be a grant for the difference, which now I'm struggling with, well, how do I determine if there is a grant? And maybe it goes beyond an agenda decision, but I'm just showing, I'm struggling with how do I tell somebody this is how you determine whether there's a grant and whether that grant is repayable, or maybe that turns into, well, maybe that's all part of the whole thing.
Katrina?
I think if it's helpful, Bob, we sort of, I think, thought about this at least when we were writing the paper, and at least for us, we thought it, well, let me start. So step one is to say when you obviously come along and you look at initial measurement, we say we've got a financial liability, we wonder whether there's something else. And obviously in terms of looking at that or calculating the fair value measurement, that'll help you work out whether you think there's something else. So if in our fact pattern we assume that, you know, the measurement of this thing is 80 and there is this, but we've got 100, so there is 20 relating to something, and we think that in this fact pattern that something else is a government grant. I think when we thought about your question about the fact that perhaps at some point in the future the new information we've got might say, well, if I'd known that at the start, I might say I never got a grant because I ultimately pay back a lot more than I initially thought I would pay back. But what I was going to say is if we assume the 80 is the right measurement, I think on day one you're saying then possibly I do have a something else that is a government grant. It just might be that in applying IS 20 and in looking at paragraph 7 and 8 that talk about when you recognise the government grant, you know, it might be that you say, I don't have reasonable assurance about whether I will receive the grant or not. So I suppose I just say I thought we thought about that we just thought it was a specificity that was sort of going beyond, and we think it's covered in talking about accounting for it by, you know, any government grant piece by applying IS 20.
Katrina, are we being a little bit too cute when we use the phrase, is there something else? We've got a cash inflow from a government. It's either a loan or it's a government grant. What else can it be?
It could be we are trying to pick the something other than a financial instrument. We've picked up those exact words from IS 39, IFRS 9.
Well, so I understand that, but in this circumstance, you know, that is a little obscure.
Yeah, I suppose and I'll explain to you, and we can certainly click, because I think what we're picking up is we say, for example, in this fact pattern, it may represent a government grant. I suppose the reason we didn't definitively said we think it may depend on your fair value measurement. If your fair value measurement says, I think I've got a financial liability of 100,
well,
then there maybe isn't something else.
I don't want this to be what the views of the committee, but I'm on the branch of the flow chart that says, yes, there is a difference.
Yep.
And then you say, is the difference something other than a financial liability? I get an extra credit. I got to put it somewhere. And what else could it be other than a government grant? And Katrina is shaking her head yes. So, Bob, you're done?
Yeah.
Patrice, do you want to come in?
Yes. Thank you. This submission came from...
Excuse me.
Came from ESMA in the beginning, and I'm still struggling with your proposed response to the submission. In the case that was discussed at WECS, it was clear from the beginning that if the project for which the entity receives a payment from the government, a funding from the government in the beginning, fails, then the intellectual property that will be given to the government in the end will have no value at all. So in this case, when you look at paragraph 10 of IS 20, what is the analysis that should be done? Because paragraph 10 seems to imply that if the probability is below 50%, then it's a binary choice. You have or you don't have to recognize a liability. And like Tony, I would like the interpretation committee to be clear on whether we can apply this paragraph given the specificities of this situation, or whether we fall in IS 39 and 32. It has to be clear in my view, because this is something that is well, that applies to a number of situations in Europe. This came from a given country, but from discussions we had, it seems that it's not an isolated situation. So I think it would be very, very useful to clarify this in the beginning. Otherwise, we'll have diversity in practice, because people will have difficulties taking into account the outcome of the discussions at the Interpretations Committee.
Charlotte?
I think on a similar point, I wasn't clear from the agenda decision whether we were saying the forgivable loans and IFRS 9 were always mutually exclusive, or that just in this situation, this wasn't a forgivable loan, so it was clearly an IFRS 9. And I suppose the question I have, if you end up in, I don't think they are mutually exclusive, if you end up in that overlap, what do you do? And this, it seemed to, because this one wasn't a forgivable loan, it missed answering that question. I thought that was the question that was asked.
Tony?
Yeah, my point's very similar, actually, to what Charlotte said. I think what we are doing with this interpretation, with this agenda decision, is that we are, well, it was a slip of the tongue, but we are interpreting IS 20. We are interpreting what certain specified conditions are, and we're sort of applying financial instruments thinking in the context of IS 20 to say that a loan is not being forgiven if the recipient has to cough up the IP when the project is inconsistent. Now, I completely understand that. I completely understand why people might say that. I just don't think IS 20 says that. And I think this agenda decision is therefore interpreting IS 20 to say that if you've got to give something up in exchange for forgiveness, then that's not actually forgiveness. And so, to take the point that several others have made, I think if we do go down that route, we do need to be clear that at the moment, I don't think that's what IS 20 actually says.
Okay.
I was also thinking about the same thing there, that in substance is the question what this to give back the IP rights really means. I mean, the value is probably zero or very low. So that is a negative right, so to speak, for the government to secure that that is not used in the wrong way. So to have that as an argument to come to some kind of other accounting conclusion, I think it could be difficult. And then I also don't understand how we can come to this conclusion that this is support for continued R&D when the fact pattern says it's for already spent R&D. So before I was very, thought it was quite good, but listen to all, quite confused.
Carl, did you want to come in?
Yes. I do not object to this wording. However, given the fact that it's very different from the original previously exposed, I think we should re-expose if we will go ahead with an agenda decision like this.
Hey, that's a new ripple. I don't know that we've ever re-exposed an agenda decision.
I remember once.
Yeah, do you think so? Okay. Yeah. John?
Yeah, just to come back on the issue of forgivable loan, which, as Katrina pointed out, I raised at the last meeting. I mean, I think in this fact pattern, I don't see how this can be a financial liability and a forgivable loan, because the terms under which it's forgiven are within the control of the actual grantee. Therefore, if that's the case, then it's not a financial liability, because it has the discretion to avoid the payment. If you can see, and therefore, if it is a forgivable loan, it's actually not a financial liability. So in this fact pattern, I don't think it can be both. I agree with the point that forgivable loan is very broadly defined in IAS 20, so I wouldn't think that rule, you couldn't rule out that you might actually have a financial liability overlap with IAS 20 forgivable loan, but I don't see in this fact pattern how that can be the case. Now, you know, I wouldn't object to a conclusion here that this is not a financial liability, because this actually relies upon the paragraph 20A of IAS 32, which is the paragraph that deals with settlement, you know, if you don't settle in cash, you have to settle in non-financial means, and many people see that as an anti-abuse provision, which to force cash settlement. This doesn't seem to be something which is forcing cash settlement. So you could argue that what we're doing is interpreting paragraph 20A of IAS 32 more broadly than intended. But if paragraph 20A of IAS 32 doesn't make this a financial liability, then I don't see any financial liability here, because there's discretion in the with the research party to avoid payment of cash.
Okay. Reinhardt?
In terms of the issue, I have sympathy for the perspective that there is an overlap between, or maybe an overlap between IAS 20 and IAS 32, IFRS 9. And although I agree with John that in this particular circumstance, I don't see a forgivable loan, but I can accept what others have said in that IAS 20 is not entirely clear, because it does say a forgivable loan, you know, it's defined quite broadly, and also points to IAS 39 in terms of below market interest rates, so from a measurement perspective. And so in some ways we are, I think, interpreting is maybe not the right word, but we are, in the context of this example, interpreting IAS 20, because as I say, forgivable loan is defined just simply to say are loans where the lender agrees to waive the repayment under certain prescribed conditions. Well, one of the conditions is you just give the IP back, and it's ultimately forgiven. So I can understand that view, although, as I say, I personally agree with what John says, that in this particular case, you're effectively giving back cash or the rights to something. To me, that means it's a financial liability. Having said that, as I say, there is some unclarity there.
Okay. Setting aside the forgivable loan issue for the moment, because we're going to have to talk about whether we incorporate that. But setting aside that, how many people, show of hands, supporting the agenda decision?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That is unanimous. Okay. Now, it seems to me that if we bring back the forgivable loan, we have to say more than was in the original agenda decision, potentially.
We may or may not.
Let's see what the original decision said.
Yeah,
so
that's what struck me. So do you want me to read it?
Many members of the Interpretations Committee thought that it also met the definition of a forgivable loan. We observed that judgment would be required in making this assessment and determining when there is reasonable assurance that the entity will meet the terms of forgiveness. If we just brought back those words, would that deal with the issue? I'm getting... Show of hands, how many would just bring back those words? Or how many think we need to do more? Just bring back the words?
I would support that way, but
I think there's actually there's a difference of views, and I wonder if we just need to decide on the answer to the difference of views first. So I know I have a view that I would agree with those words. I know John and Reinhardt and others have a different view. And I wonder if we actually need to decide the answer to that question first, and then how we address it in the agenda decision.
John, you want to come back on that? Or would you please come back on that?
I sort of struggle with how we could have an agenda decision that says that it's a financial liability, and in this fact pattern also say it might be a forgivable loan. I don't understand what that would say to people, because we would be saying that in that situation that we think that the research entity has no discretion to avoid the payment, and therefore that meets the definition of a financial liability. But also we think that they have the ability to, because they control the conditions here, the prescribed conditions that forgivable loan definition refers to, these prescribed conditions in this situation are entirely within the control of the research party, in this fact pattern. I mean, there's nothing in this fact pattern which says those are independent externally imposed conditions that you have to meet. These are conditions where they can decide not to exploit it and then walk away from the loan. So that's either a forgivable loan, or you don't believe that, you actually believe that the requirement to give back the IP makes it a financial liability. I don't think it can be both in this fact pattern, so that's why I objected to that wording last time.
Bruce?
Yeah, the reason I don't think I'm particularly happy with the wording is I think we've got to decide it is or it isn't. Do you know what I'm saying? I think we've kind of got to go after the agenda decision and say, look, under the fact pattern that's here, this is not a forgivable loan, and this is why. Because, I mean, that's what we've been asked. So I would say IS-20 says it's a forgivable loan. These are the reasons we do not think it is. Therefore, we think it's an IFRS 9, and then the rest of the agenda decision flows. I just think to go out there and say, IFRS 9, here it is, great. And if I'm reading it cold and then says, but by the way, this could be an IS-20, I'm going to say, guys, you haven't told me anything. So we've got to decide it's in or turn into and explain why.
Bob?
John, can I understand the argument better? I think if I understand what you're saying is that if you don't pay back this loan and you give the IP, what you're doing is then it's a default and you're giving over the collateral, and that's not a, it's not a, it might be a piece that's forgiven, but it's not forgivable. Is that right?
Well, I think I'm not arguing one side or the other. I could actually accept both arguments. I just think they're incompatible. You can't actually put both of them in the agenda decision and say that it might be forgivable. It could also be a forgivable loan. It's either a forgivable loan or it's a financial liability. I mean, because you either read the forgivable loan as including prescribed conditions that are within the control of the counterparty. If you believe that's a forgivable loan, then that in this instance cannot be a financial. I don't see how that can be a financial liability.
I understand. Okay. The suggestion that Bruce made is that we don't think it is a forgivable loan, and that the agenda decision ought to explain why we don't think it is. Who would support that approach? Who would object to that approach? Charlotte?
I don't think it's going far enough, because I still don't understand primarily could it be a forgivable loan and also a financial instrument, because the two definitions are so different and it depends how you read them. What does waiving repayment mean? Does that mean waiving cash repayment or waiving repayment in any form? You know, and that's the difference. Or is it forgivable only if you repay something that isn't a default? Because there's a difference between if you can give back collateral and it doesn't count as a default, or if you give collateral and it still counts as a default. And it's all those sort of subtleties. I mean, can you actually end up with something that's a forgivable loan and a financial instrument? And in that case, which standard comes first? I think that's the question.
That's what I think is the tension, because there isn't a waterfall. It doesn't tell us which standard comes first.
But I think if I understand, because I think, Sharon, if I understand what you're saying, maybe I'm wrong, but if I understand what you're saying, is you're almost saying, shouldn't we try to clarify more broadly, can both standards apply or not? And I suppose, I think that just we've thought about this given the specific fact pattern, and I think it would be dangerous to broaden this outside the specific fact pattern just because we don't know the unintended consequences. That if we thought about it in this fact pattern and we can reach a clear view that given these narrow facts, we think it's in one or the other, then hopefully we're answering the question without potentially causing
Charlotte.
Other trouble.
I wasn't sure from what Patrick was saying, whether that was the question or really they did want to know the what is a forgivable loan? Does it count where you give back the collateral, the sort of the underlying? And in which case is that a financial? So I think we've almost narrowed it to give back a question that's possibly unhelpful. I don't know. An answer that's unhelpful.
I think if I understood what Patrick said, Patrick, you're saying you want a clear answer, and I suppose that's the discussion now about whether via the agenda decision we can give a clear answer that you apply one.
Sue, you're going to help us out?
Don't know if I'm going to help out. Make an observation. The committee seems to have been analysing a particular fact pattern and coming to a conclusion. I think Patrick's point is that this conclusion doesn't really help answer the question to decide whether or not something's a forgivable loan, and so whether paragraph 10 applies or not. I don't think that, given we've looked at one specific fact pattern, we can make broader analysis about what the definition of a forgivable loan is, but it sounds like it would be more helpful for Patrick's purposes, at least, if there was more explanation for why, given this fact pattern, these conclusions have been reached. So at least it gives the people a steer for the sorts of things to think about when you're deciding whether or not it's a forgivable loan or a financial instrument.
That sound more like an improvement than the general decision?
I don't know.
Reinhardt?
I guess what I'm convinced of is in this particular fact pattern, it is not a forgivable loan. Because when I think of a forgivable loan, the substance of a forgivable loan is a government grant, where the government's really encouraging you to perform research. But here in this particular case, the government's providing you cash, and the entity has a free choice as to what they do with that cash. They can either go ahead and perform research, or they can just hand the IP back to the government. So to me, that seems to be more in the nature of, in IS 32, paragraph 20A, you're either giving, it's a settlement option. It's a financing type arrangement. And so I wouldn't object to adding some words along the lines that in this particular fact pattern, it doesn't meet the definition of a forgivable loan, which I think might address some of the questions people have. There may be variations on this fact pattern where, depending on the terms and conditions, the substance of the arrangement is one. I admit that doesn't necessarily clarify what is a forgivable loan, but that I'm not sure is really our job in for purposes of this agenda item.
Martin?
Yeah, for me, the core question is how to reflect the obligation to deliver something, which is your settlement option. And I've heard several times that there is the discretion to avoid a payment. Yes, if I avoid the payment, I have to deliver something. And then, according to my mind, we have the question, are we in a kind of gross or net presentation? So that would mean, if, for example, I have a higher probability of success, I would have capitalized my development expense. Yeah, so I would have an asset in my balance sheet, and this asset I have to give away. So more or less, I need to reflect that with a kind of liability. That in that case would be that financial liability. If, however, I have from the beginning onwards a very low probability of success, I would not have the ability to account for any IPR&D. So I have nothing in my balance sheet. And that would mean I could settle more or less without affecting my balance sheet. And then the question pops up whether at this specific situation I still have to account for a liability. Because I could settle my obligation giving away something which is not on my balance sheet. So if I account for an additional liability at the point in time I would settle that liability, I would end up in the gain. So also this probably we have to reflect in our discussion. I know it's a new, potentially new topic or new kind of view, but it is important because I heard several times this question to avoid payment. But if I avoid the payment, I have to deliver something. And the question is, when I have this something on my balance sheet, for sure, it is in a way, well, the value is, well, affected.
I think we had a proposal not to use the language from the original agenda decision, but to be more focused and say, in this circumstance, committee members observed that, and I'm drafting on the fly here, the terms of this agreement do not satisfy the definition of a forgivable loan. Because, and then we fill in the blanks, that obviously leaves open the question of, well, what happens if I change this term, or I jiggle this one, or that? I would like to suggest we can't answer that. We've reached a conclusion, I believe the majority of the committee is of the view, that in this circumstance, it's not a forgivable loan in 20. Can I have a show of hands on that? Give me an amen. Yeah. All right. Everybody with Mark McKell.
Could your staff just summarize the reasons for which the committee believes it is not a forgivable loan in that condition, in that specific? I'm not sure I understand what led the committee to that conclusion, so I would like to hear in summary what are the reasons for the analysis.
I was going to say I might ask John to do it.
Let me see, let me try. I think we said because the settlement options are not prescribed conditions, they are just at the within the control of the borrower. That I thought the analysis.
Yes.
Okay. And so we need to incorporate that in the agenda decision.
Yeah, but is not that, I'm going back to Tony's point, is not that interpreting the definition of forgivable loans in IS 20?
To a degree, yes.
Yeah, because it doesn't say in 20 who is in control of the conditions, certain prescribed conditions, who controls those conditions, is not said. So whether it is the lender or the borrower is going beyond IS 20, this is my point.
I agree with you.
Bonnie?
To me, the reason it's not a forgivable loan is because repayment has not been waived. Repayment is either in cash or it's in giving up the IP. Therefore, it can't be a forgivable loan. And to me, that's not interpreting the language. It's applying the language to this very specific circumstance. Yeah. And that's the way I would look at this.
Yeah.
To your question,
I don't disagree, but I think the agenda decision has to say it. It cannot be left unsaid.
I think that has to be the reason why we believe it's not a forgivable loan is because repayment has not been waived in these very specific circumstances.
All right. Let me ask Bonnie, since she spoke last, and John, to work with the staff on drafting this little bit here. Says this is not a forgivable loan because, now to a degree, as with all of these things, we're doing a little tiny interpretation.
And I don't think so. I think we're applying just what's written in the IFRSs to a very specific question in a very specific circumstance. Yeah. To me, that's not interpretation, that's application. That's my view. But
you're a politician.
Huh?
A politician.
Maybe I should run for president too.
No,
kidding.
You clearly wouldn't make it this time around. You're that diplomatic, you wouldn't make it. All right, we'll do that with those two volunteers working with the staff on the drafting. Martin, last word.
Probably one last hint. If we come up to the conclusion that it is not a forgivable loan, we have to consider the question, what is the difference between the measurement of the liability when I have a very low probability of success, so the fair value of the liability, and the cash received? So what is the difference, and what happens to that if we have
it's a government grant?
The difference would be a government grant, yeah.
It's okay, just fine. Not a so if we stay with that, I'm
okay. We're done.